Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Today's lesson from the Sermon on the Mount may be a little difficult to take. At best, it's a very convicting passage. But we will look at how God's grace shines through in the words of Jesus to show us, sinners saved by grace, just how much we need a Savior. So grab your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 5, and prepare your heart and mind as we look at overcoming sin. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You'll find it on page 4 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. We are in the middle of a sermon series. We are looking at Jesus' calling and his teaching. And we are in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount. And these are teachings that Matthew recorded that Jesus taught in this sermon that he spoke to his disciples. Today we're going to look at some very hard teaching. I have to warn you ahead of time. This is not going to be pleasant. But my prayer today is that we can find the grace of God in the words of Jesus. And so let us hear the words of our Lord for us this morning. Starting at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I told you this was not a pleasant passage today, and it really isn't. It's a hard one. It's a hard passage, and it's one that, I'll be honest with you, I've known some pastors who actually shy away from these passages, especially the one concerning adultery and divorce. Divorce is so prevalent in our culture today. It's pretty well known fact that one out of every two marriages today ends in divorce. And divorce is something that is, it's not just painful to the married couple who splits, but it's painful to all those involved, to their families, to their children. You know, I've experienced this firsthand myself, and it's not something that I like to talk about. It's not something that I like to think about. But if I'm going to approach this passage today, I have to lay my life down and say, yeah, I've been married and divorced, and my children were affected by the divorce, and the divorce was entirely my fault. I had an adulterous affair. I hurt my wife. I hurt my children. I hurt myself by my own selfish actions. But this is what the world teaches us. The world teaches us that marriage is disposable, that relationships are disposable, that it's okay to just toss away a relationship because you just meet someone else. It's okay. We sign things like prenuptial agreements, and prenuptial agreements are just basically us telling ourselves that this is what happens when we get divorced, rather than, it's not really protection against divorce. It's something that we get to protect us from ourselves when we are divorced. The world tells us it's okay. Jesus, in this passage today, is telling us that the standards of God are higher and greater than the standards of the world. And not only that, but the standards of God are even greater than the standards of God's people. Of God's people. He begins by saying, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment." If you are angry, Jesus is equating anger with murder. And it's not a new concept. In Genesis 4, when Cain slew Abel, just before Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God, and God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And Cain grew jealous, and this is what God said to him: "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Anger is just another step towards murder. In this case, Cain, in the very next verse, drew his brother out into a field and killed him. His anger took him to a place where he murdered his brother. Jesus is saying, if you are angry with someone, you've already committed murder in your heart. That's a very high standard for all of us. And who among us can really keep that? I can't. I don't know anybody who can. I don't know one single person in this entire world who has never been angry. And Jesus is saying, if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, the word there for hell, by the way, is Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place outside of Jerusalem where there was this constant fire. It was a dump. They would take their refuse to this place and it would burn. And it was constantly burning, burning, burning. And why would Jesus say that they would be liable to that? He was saying that that is the place. Not Gehenna itself, but it was an image of where people go when they remove themselves from God's presence. If God is light and love, then the opposite of God is darkness and hatred. So where there is no God, that's all there is. Jesus says, if you remember that you have something, or your brother or sister has something against you, when you're on your way to the altar to leave a gift, leave your gift right where it is. Reconcile yourself to your brother or sister, and then take your gift to the altar. He says, never bring a gift when you've got something against you. He says, God won't even accept it. He says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on your way to court, or your accuser will have you thrown into prison. It's very, very difficult for us to understand. But he's saying, be reconciled. Be reconciled. We are people who are called to love one another. The two greatest commandments, Jesus tells us, are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The two greatest commandments, he says, all of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. And if we only do those two things, just love one another and love God with complete abandon, everything else falls into place. And now he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And it's very easy to say. Don't commit the physical act of adultery. But he says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That is such a hard standard, especially today when all we see on TV and all we see in the news and in the media are people behaving badly. The commercials on TV, sex sells, everything, everything. You can't sell beer without women in bikinis or Doritos without women jumping around in a laundromat. You know, it's ridiculous, but that's what sells. It's the motto of the ad agency today. Sex sells. The world tells us that these things are okay. It's okay. It's okay just to look. Look, but don't touch. But Jesus is saying, don't even look. If you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Our marriage vows tell us that we are to forsake all others. Forsake all others. And forsaking all others means not even looking at other women. Why would we? When we've already married the one person we will spend the rest of our lives with. You know, our marriage vows say, till death do us part, but there is a growing trend now where couples want to remove that from the wedding liturgy. Well, we don't want to say, till death do us part. That's kind of morbid. Let us say, as long as we love each other. As long as we love each other. What does that mean? That means if I don't love you next Tuesday, I can put you away. Divorce in this time was so prevalent that a man could divorce his wife for any reason. If she burned his meal, he could just write, oh, we're done. Here's a writ of divorce. See ya. You know? And it was that simple. But Jesus is saying that we're held to a higher standard. When we make that vow, you know, all the way back in Genesis, and again, these things don't come from, Jesus didn't pull these things out of the air. Genesis chapter 2, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. That relationship is so important. And Jesus later on uses that very same phrase and then says, what God has joined, therefore, do not let man put asunder. We've heard those words before. And it's true. Marriage is an institution ordained by God. Imagine, if you will, taking two salt shakers, a salt and pepper shaker. You know, salt and pepper goes great together, don't they? Take this salt and pepper shaker and super glue them together. And then one day you decide, well, I just want the salt without the pepper. I just want the pepper without the salt. When you try to separate them, that super glue breaks one or both of the shakers. When that relationship is pulled apart, one or both are broken. In most cases, it's both. In my case, it was both. And it wasn't just me. It wasn't just my wife. It was our children that were affected as well. Now, I'm not saying that we stay together through thick and thin, no matter what, because Jesus does give us an exemption. He says that if whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that if anyone divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. So even though divorce was so prevalent at that time, he was saying that, okay, if she's unfaithful, give her a divorce. Or if you're unfaithful, give her a divorce. That's the only thing that Jesus says allows for divorce, is if someone is unfaithful in the marriage. Burning the meal doesn't do it. Coming home late doesn't do it. Yelling, screaming, all those things, none of those things do it. It's only unchastity. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, these standards are so high that we can't live up to them. Let's look at the next passage. He says, you have heard that it was said that to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem. Don't swear, he says. Don't swear. Let your word be yes, yes. When you say yes, mean yes. And when you say no, mean no. If you live a life of integrity, no one will ever question your word. That's what he's saying. All right, so this stuff is really hard. And how do you wrap all this stuff? It's a very long passage that they give us today from verse 21 to 37. How do you wrap this all up in a 20-minute sermon? I know you're thinking, better you than me, right? Well, to me, this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, it is impossible to live up to God's standards. It is. That's the fact. It's impossible to live up to God's standards, but that only demonstrates for us, as flawed and broken people, the need for a Savior. We can't do it ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. There's no way for us to be so good and so righteous that we can earn our way into heaven. If we could earn our way into God's kingdom, then why would Jesus have to come and die? If we could earn our way, then Jesus didn't have to sacrifice himself. All he had to do was come down and say, listen, guys, straighten yourselves up. You can do this. But that's not what he says. He says, you have heard it said, if you murder someone, you will be called into judgment. But if you are angry with someone, you have already committed murder in your heart. Well, that's impossible. I've been angry with at least 3 people today. You know, I don't even know them. And they, you know, just driving down the road, you know? Okay, so I fell there. All right, what's next? If you look at a woman with lust, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. What, are you kidding me? You can't even watch TV. Okay, I'll unplug the TV. Well, you can't go on the internet. Well, there goes all my research methods. Now I guess I have to go to the library. You can't go to the library. It's impossible. It's impossible. And then he says, don't swear. Oh my gosh, I wish I had a dollar for every time I said, you know, I swear. You know, it's something that we say. Well, okay. Three times Jesus gave me instructions, and three times I fell short. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. All have sinned. Everyone. There's only one who ever walked the face of the earth who did not sin, and that was God incarnate, Jesus Christ Himself. He couldn't sin. God is the standard by which sin is measured. His righteousness. We can't live up to that. We are made in the image of God, but we are a pale shadow of who God is. And we live in a broken world, a world of sin. Sin first crept into the world when mankind was tempted to be like God. That's what the serpent said to Eve. The serpent said, He knows, God knows that if you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods. That was the temptation. It wasn't just eating the fruit. They had plenty of fruit around to eat. But it was being like gods. It was exalting ourselves. It was lifting ourselves up so that we could be like Him. We can't live up to God's standards, no matter how hard we try. But that only demonstrates the need for a Savior. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to be that Savior. Jesus came to save us, to be that sacrifice once and for all sin, to cover all sin. And the bottom line is, Jesus tells us that God holds us to a higher standard than we can live up to. God is a holy God, and He demands nothing less than holiness, perfect holiness from His children. But rather than be discouraged by God's impossible standard, we should be encouraged by the grace and the love He offers us at the cross. Romans 5:8 says that God's love is demonstrated to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our acts together. He didn't wait for us to fix ourselves. He came because we couldn't fix ourselves, because we couldn't live up to His standards. God reconciles us to Himself. And the impossibility of God's holiness by His standard should convince us of our need for a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God loves us so much that He became our Savior when He became a man and hung on a cross for us. I think about everything that God did for me and everything that God did for us. The pain that He bore on the cross. I was a believer in Jesus Christ, but I was not a Christian. The very first time that I saw The Passion of the Christ, it's a very hard movie to see, if you've ever seen it. And I sat in that movie theater with my wife, and there were a couple of women sitting in front of us, and while the Roman guard was scourging Jesus so that the flesh was being flayed from His back, they were crying. And my wife and I were laughing and saying to each other, didn't they read this story? Don't they know how this ends? It's kind of funny how they're just crying. It didn't affect us at all. But after I came to Christ, I saw that movie again. I cried at that scene because He did that for me. He did that for me. What? God took that from me? I gave my life to Christ. And maybe you're sitting there and maybe you've heard all these words before. Maybe you've heard all those things before. But maybe you've never really truly giving your life to Christ. And it's not a judgment. People come to church for years and never give their lives to Christ. But maybe today is the day. In a little bit, I'm going to close us in prayer, and I'm going to offer an invitation. And it's just between you and God. It doesn't have to be between. It's not about me. It's not about the people here. It's about you, and it's about God. And that relationship that He's calling you to. Becoming a Christian really means accepting and admitting that we can't save ourselves, that we're sinners, and believing that Jesus came and died for us, and confessing that we can't save ourselves, but also calling for Jesus to save us. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, just to pray this prayer. Let's pray together. Lord God, You hold us to an impossible standard. And we're okay with that. We know that Your standard is so much greater than anything that we can do on our own. But also that You came and You became a man to die on the cross for each of us when we could not save ourselves. Lord, we know the pain that You endured for us. We know the sacrifice that You made for us. We love You, Lord, for all that You have done. You call us into a life of holiness. Now, Lord, we offer our lives to You. Right where you are, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, this isn't about you and this isn't about me. This is about God. Right in this moment, Jesus calling to each and every one of us. If you feel like you need to give your life to God, to give your life to Jesus Christ, just pray this prayer. These words are not mine. They're not words that are magical or anything like that, but just pray this prayer in your heart. Just, Jesus Christ, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I can't do this on my own. But I know that You offered Your life for me, and I claim that promise now, Lord. I give my life to You. I offer all of me to You. Take me, Lord, and do with me what You will. In all things, Lord, I want You to be my Lord, my God, my Savior. I invite You into my life. I invite You into my heart. Just pour Your Holy Spirit upon me, Lord, and make me whole. You came to the cross. You died for me. Now let me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.